Hello everyone. I'm Pacôme from Atelier Cartographique. Atelier Cartographique is a Brussels-based organization, and we are here today. It's with Sophie Boiron, Pierre-Hugues Barthes, and Pierre Marchand. We are here to present WAND. WAND is a web application to create, design, and publish map online. We will make our presentation directly on WAND, so you can watch it being used. We will start by presenting some projects we have been involved in so far to give an idea about the context in which WAND has been built. We think it's important to present a bit around, to not get directly in the technical details. So here you can see some geographic shapes. It's here, basically. Maybe some of you recognize it. And I will start with to talk about Buratinas. Buratinas is a solar-powered boat used by Nadine. It's a Belgian organization I'm also working with. And we use Buratinas as a tool to discover the Belgian territory. It's a nice way to see the landscape from the water point of view. And it's solar powered, so it's very slow. It goes like 5 kilometers per hour, so you have time to watch around. And to present the documentation of this project, we built a cartographic website, which has a particularity to embed directly the images in the map. So it means that when you zoom in, you can really get a closer look to what's happened. It's not only a point or a pin on a map that opens a pop-up. Another project, which is the very first iteration of this principle, has been developed for a Belgian artist. She was making drawings in a tram 81 in Brussels every day for a long period of time, and she needed something to present her work. Another project involving territories, mapping, and things like that, it's called Default. It's also organized by Nadine. And the idea is to follow the fold of maps by bike with a group of artists. It takes basically 1 month, and we try to follow the fold. Last summer, we went through Ireland. It's also about slow mobility and things like that. Around Default, some mapping related objects have been produced. Like here you can see a very long paper map. It's 18 meters long. It was from north of Poland to Croatia. And it tells the corridor we have to follow, basically. The drawing here has been made afterwards by an artist from memory, so it's more subjective. And here you can see some also very subjective navigation tools. And here with the elastics, it tells where to not turn. It happened that it was handy to use. And the last project I will talk about, we made it for university in Brussels, in Tournai. Architect student has been working on the city of Mons, and they took like 1,600 pictures of doors on the city. So we took the old-fashioned maps, way of doing maps when you unfold facades from the building along the way to present everything, but also the people from the city were involved in the project and they were be part of the exhibition, so we thought, yeah, it's not nice for them if they have their house upside down. So, yeah, finally, Pierre redeveloped everything with OpenLayer 3 to make the rotation so everything could rotate in any direction. And it was nice to see a map with a wrong north sometimes. So. Okay, so that's just to give an idea where we are.
Yes, and maybe to continue to give an idea outside of WAND most of the time. These are projects we've been doing for a few years, sometimes with Pierre, sometimes with Nicolas in the room and others. And it's maybe to try to tackle five issues. There is others, but that we try to keep in mind by developing WAND. Yes, the question of scale. But in WAND, the scale is quite present. By example, you define the scale of a text in absolute, so in meters. Here it's 60 meters high. And we've been developing a long time ago a map of Africa that for an exhibition, and it was also the question of scale. It's 7 meters there on the floor, but so it's possible to see the shape of the cities. That's really obvious. Another quite obvious question is the time. The time in historical maps, very classical maps, therefore the Citadel de Namur. But there you can see, if you know a bit the Belgium coast, that the coast 4 centuries ago was not exactly the same. And if we think about time, it's also the way we represent data, digital data that change in time, and it's currently not present in WAND, but I think it will be quite exciting as a challenge to handle. Another thing quite related is the symbology. Like sometimes it's called in cartography, so it's mainly the design, let's say. And maybe one way we like to use to think that is to look closely how old maps were done. These are the same place in Brussels. That's a very classical maps of the 60s, and this is a map that tried to mimic the same symbology, but with a lot of differences, and to analyze these differences. Maybe, yes, if we look even more closely in the text that are present in the maps, we can see that, of course, there is a lot of competition in maps for the space, and it's currently quite difficult for digital platform to handle these, to avoid collisions. So most of the platform decide to avoid collisions or to go far into collision, but an in-between situation could be quite interesting, as it's not yet possible digitally, so it's another challenge. And maybe another one could be the question of the, let's say, topography, because WAND is it's a place, it's a platform where everything that you place is georeferenced. It seems that the topography is obvious, and when we do workshops with, you can maybe switch to the other one. when we do workshop with children, by example, the way memories or practice distort the reality, it could be quite interested to, it's possible to do the reverse, to distort a drawing to fit with a map, a topographic map, but the reverse, to distort digital data, topographic data, to fit with the drawing, seems currently still quite difficult. So this is a little catalogue of, and a show of visual of issue that, but we are, but there is a lot of others, and we are quite excited if you have other ones to discuss with.
Okay. 5 minutes. So 5 minutes is definitely too short for what I've prepared. So it was boring, actually, compared to what you've seen now. It was just to explain to you how the platform works, how it has been built, and the data model we've got, and et cetera, et cetera. It was a counterpart of the rant I've wrote a bit earlier that was not appropriate for this presentation, so I'm a bit lost now. So basically, how it works on the platform is that you've got users that are able to create maps, and these maps are all hosting layers, and these layers host features. And these features are like featured with a geographic data that allows us to display them on a map. Well, so it's way more complicated than that. So I would try to show things that might be interesting. So the best thing is that it started as just manipulation of this data through kind of a shell, and we kept this organization. So meaning that everything is written to manipulate this data, and the visualization arrives last, and you can still do a lot of design, in fact, by just writing things at the bottom of the screen, like this little line. And everything is, okay, the rationale for this is to make it possible to have a platform where you can write like tiny pieces of code that are able to do things and to be welcoming for new commands, new small programs to manipulate all this data and to promote experimentation with the platform. So I would try to present something else that is really interesting for me. It's the rendering of this geographic data. Sorry, the mic doesn't work really. And it's made of like layers, and these layers are just overlaid one of each on top of each other. And each layer is rendered by its own rendering engine. Actually, often it's just the default one, but the interesting part is that you can replug your own rendering engine. I wouldn't say it's easy to write, but you can take the default one, tweak it a bit, and change things here and there. And it's also a way for us to not prevent users to do what they want to do with the platform. So something else, I'm trying to go too fast, the collaborative aspect of the platform. So nodes on this tree are authored by a user, and everything is under his responsibility. There's just one thing that is a bit specific, is that the connection between the map and the layer is something else, and the permissions are a bit different, meaning that to make it simple, you can connect a layer to a map if you're the owner or the author of the layer, and if the map is public, actually. So it means that it doesn't work exactly as a wiki, in the sense that you can't edit what has been edited by someone else, but you can overlay your own layer on someone else's map, like to add something or to say something about the same space, or to just like bother people, or just to help. It's your decision, and it's an important aspect of the platform besides design, in the sense that we didn't manage yet to decide what's the good balance between trying to help people to collaborate and give them control and let them give away some control to other people. This is a lot of questions. And last thing, I'm really confused now. This is the platform itself. Because there's a lot of geographic data that is expected to land on the platform, and this data is usually quite sensitive. There's the question of who is going to operate the platform, and the trust we can have in the people or the organization operating the platform. So there's also this question of how are we going to widen the organization, run the project, and to find the. Well, what we thought for the moment was super simple, to have a non-profit organization where every user of the platform would be a voting member of this organization, and so would be part of the decision-making process. It's a bit short, and we're really in the middle of thinking of it. So maybe I'm... beyond the 5 minutes now. I'm really sorry.
Questions? Yes, I'm sure there's a lot of questions. Do you have?
This might have been part of the technical details you cut out, but how are you managing to implement that much data, those many layers when you're zooming in huge amounts enough? Is it all just image tiles?
It's really client rendering because the implementation is quite naive for the moment. We've got like limitations. I mean, we can display as much as room, I would say 50,000 features at the same time. And the usual techniques in this kind of thing is that to have a lot of you try to get rid of a lot of features that would be meaningful on screen, like everything that is less than one pixel wide. Yeah. It's not necessary, because it's super slow for the moment for two things. Well, it's fast enough for me, but it's super slow because of two things. Like, because the rendering engine is possibly supplied for a user, it's kind of sandboxed into a web worker. And so you've got all the communication between the main thread, that is the only one able to write on the canvas, on the context, and the web worker is quite slow. And there's something that, there's an issue somewhere that is working on this, like having a means to draw on the canvas right from a web worker, and will help a lot. Yeah, but it's cool. It's enough for the moment, because we take another approach than the usual way you do maps. Usually you've got like a huge database and you try to put that on a map. And here we try to avoid that. It starts with what you draw on the map is on the database, in the database. So it means that usually you've got less data to show on screen.
Thank you for your presentation. I mean, it's quite impressive work. Now, my question goes towards what's the efforts that you put on documenting this work and making it understandable, the mechanisms that are behind it, to others, and also detaching it from your own use, or if that's something that you wish to accomplish, or it will be simply for your own use, which in my opinion is a bit of a pity. But also seems quite a difficult task, both to document and to make it somehow neutral. Although I don't think it's neutral, because it has quite a lot of attitude, but usable by others. That's
It's a very good question. And there's some kind of help, and it helps really, even for us, because we sometimes get lost into this application. And I don't know, it's really difficult. We've wrote a lot about this, a lot in French actually, so not everything is like widely available. And we try, because we started with a very, very confused idea of the platform, and we try really hard to precise what it is and to make it easy for people to get what it's about and to get involved in the project. But I have to admit, it's still a bit confusing. But we're getting there. Like, we've got maybe two users who are using the platform without our help. It's a lot. If you consider that they started when the platform was even more rough than it is now. So we've seen that it's possible. In fact, the main problem that we witnessed, because we have been given a workshop to people, and we see that finally it's quite easy to get how it works. But it's very difficult to imagine that you are going to design a map and what could be something different than what you can see on OpenStreetMap or Google Maps or blah blah map or whatever map, and just to imagine, I will do something on my own and it will be my own project. And I would say that that's the difficult part that we didn't solve ourselves, because we started with this idea of something like cartographic narrative and really nice wording, and it still resonates for us, but just we didn't implement it in a way that is easy to explain to people what's a mapping project that is not a controlling mapping project.
We have one, maybe one last question? Anyone? Yes?
How do you think about sort of like type? I think it was mentioned a little bit, but I was just really curious about this, like, this text that would sort of like be like really microscopic or so, that you zoom in like a lot, you know. It's sort of like the type also like something that is then measured in meters.
Exactly. Type is is in meters.
But it's also like it's part, sort of like it has a specific size. It's not sort of like, because I think in a lot of other mapping things, it's sort of like, you want the type to be always visible
or
always readable in sort of a specific resolution.
No, we don't do that. Like, it's like, I don't know, it's really difficult to say, because it's difficult to say the use case for it. What's fun, actually, let's say just fun, that you can have a text that has text inside the text, like in the middle of a letter, that has text in the middle of a letter, etc. It's a bit of fun. And if you start from there, with this bit of fun, you can maybe expand it to a lot of fun. But it's not our work. Our work it's to make it possible. And if you like bored with this kind of scaled text, you can take the rendering engine and just tell it to stop that and to make something proper for mapping. It's the whole thing that you can like just unplug, replug yours, and you're done. And we're not done with experimenting with the platform. And this platform really, really lacks practitioners of it. So we've got the tool. We don't have the practice, so it doesn't loop yet, but
no, it will. I think it's super sweet.
Thank you. Thanks.